This week is Christmas week. Merry Christmas to everybody. And then obviously New Year's is coming up too. So hope you guys got some fun plans. Christmas has a lot of things in it. You know, the trees, the food, the family, the presents. But there's one thing you can't get away from, and that's Christmas music.
Oh, yeah.
What is your favorite Christmas song?
All right, everybody, on three. What's Timmy's favorite Christmas song? One, two, three.
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yep.
Yep.
There it is.
I'm sure all of five people got that wrong.
You know, Tim, when I think of Christmas music and you, I actually don't think of Mariah Carey first.
What do you think of?
I think of
Stealings?
I think of your family playing the Christmas radio station through your, like, built speakers.
Yeah, that's on right now.
For, like, months. That thing's still going.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That home audio system is, like, from the 70s. And yes,
it still works.
It is still kicking.
It's the only thing that actually plays. It can't turn off.
I don't think I've ever heard anything but Christmas.
I was going to say, I don't think it's ever moved from the Christmas channel
or the Christmas station. Back in the day, my mom would play smooth jazz.
Gross.
That was the best radio station.
I think when you're a kid, there's like nothing more agonizing than smooth jazz. I like it now, but I remember when my dad would listen to it, I fucking hated it. Okay. I was like, this is the worst music ever made, and it makes me want to kill myself.
Your dad listens to some pretty wild music, though.
Like, I don't even know what my dad listens to anymore. He listens to, like, Spanish guitar music now. Like,
that's literally
what
came to my mind.
But no. When I was a kid, he listened to, like, smooth jazz. And I hated it.
That's referred to as flamenco. Oh.
I was like, this is music designed to make you fall asleep or something.
I mean, I could use that. That'd be awesome.
But listen to smooth jazz, Mark.
I think my favorite
Christmas music has to be the Die Hard soundtrack.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Like it.
Yes.
All right. A comment in chat.
Oh, God.
Let's start a war.
Don't.
No, there is one answer, and the answer is yes.
Yeah.
It is a Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I mean, yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
It's weird that Die Hard 1 is a Christmas movie. Die Hard 2 is a Christmas movie, but Die Hard 3 is not.
Halloween?
No, it's just a day in New York.
Yeah, it's a
day in New York.
Fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm. They're all good, but for some reason they really just were like, actually no, not this time.
Yeah, well, I don't know why they abandoned the Christmas theme.
They could have kept it going, but they didn't.
I feel like it only weakens the argument then.
Well,
they stopped doing the Christmas after Die Hard 2.
It's probably a different director. He didn't understand it.
Maybe they never did it at all.
They probably have two movies that were like, all right, how many villains can we write that diabolically want to steal things on Christmas?
Yeah, also for let's see, hold on. Oh, the original was directed by John McTiernan, who directed the second film, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Subsequent sequels saw different directors, including Rennie Harlan, Len Wiseman, and John Moore. So, the first two, John McTiernan was like, Christmas, baby. Uh-huh. And then after that, they were just like, what's Christmas? Why would you make an action movie on Christmas?
Yeah. See, I was correct.
They didn't see the vision.
Man. So John said no more.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, tangent event. I'm just going to say because, I mean, honestly, for Christmas music, I'm whatever about it. But honestly, the one song, and it's Carol of the Bells by Trans-Siberia Orchestra.
Hell yeah.
I mean, come on, that's so great.
It's so fantastic. Every time I hear it, I'm just like, damn, this is fucking awesome. it gets you pumped up for some reason, like I'm about to attack Santa Claus or something, but...
Give up the sack, Kringle.
Give it up!
My brain is absolute mush right now, and I can't like exactly remember what my favorite Christmas music is. But one I've been enjoying recently have been all of the like it's been like a trend right now on the internet to cross over the Charlie Brown Christmas theme with like rap or trap music. And it's really fun.
Are you talking talking Vamp Miss 3, brother?
But I've also heard it with like Glorilla and a couple of other artists, and I'm like, this all slaps. I fucking love it.
I mean, why not just add that to the Christmas playlist, right?
Exactly. It's really good. It's
I have to introduce you to Kenny G's Smooth Christmas.
Man, I really like singing along to Last Christmas.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one, and I could just sing that forever. It's a really, really well done, really paceful song.
Don't do it. I'm not losing Whamageddon.
Wait, have you guys heard the Sia Christmas album?
I have.
What?
And I do like a lot of the tracks. I just feel so weird about listening to Sia music after all that kind of there's like this stuff with like a minor, unconfirmed, but it's just some.
Really well, don't tell me because I don't ruin it for me.
I won't.
See,
because
it's like Quentin Tarantino movies are ruined. You're trying to ruin Sia. I'm just trying to be ignorant. I already know too much, and too many things have been ruined.
Yeah, don't let me ruin Jingle Bells for you.
I worked 10 hours today on a Saturday. I don't need more things in my life. Like,
play McCoy.
Damn it.
So, did get to the gym, though. So, bounces out. My house looks like absolute piss, though. Spend all day tomorrow
cleaning. Quit pissing on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. So something really funny with this, with the Christmas music going around, everywhere now. You know, if you're in a grocery store, you can hear it, right? So you can't get away from it. At one point, Medley said that she thought that this one Christmas song had the F word in it, and I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she was like, "Yeah, it has the F word," and I was like, "No, it doesn't." I was like, "No Christmas song would ever have it, save for Blink-182." And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, and I didn't hear it, but I heard it the other day. So in Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, which is a classic song, you can hear it in your head now, right? But there's a part when she says, "Let the Christmas spirit ring, then we'll have some pumpkin pie." Okay, because it's an older song. Sometimes and you hear it over the radio in the grocery store or whatever. She heard, "We'll have some fucking pie."
We're gonna have some pumpkin pie.
Maybe she just wanted pie. My God.
So I was like, "What are you talking about?" For like 2 years, she kept trying to tell me this, and then eventually I like heard it, and I was like, "Medley, I know what you mean. It does. If you hear it, if you hear it in the background, it does sound like she says."
That is how I aggressively ask for pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving in my house. Give me that pumpkin pie.
Have some fucking pie.
Pumpkin pie.
But yeah. So that when you hear it now, I want you all to hear that part in the first verse and go, "Oh, that does kind of sound like they're saying fucking pie." Well, I hope that everybody has a wonderful Christmas, and I hope you guys all have some fucking pie. But let's have some fucking Pathfinder. Am I right, guys?
Hell yeah.
So we ended last episode on a really crazy note. We ended the last episode with a little family reunion that nobody expected. Because I told Timmy afterwards, I was like, "Oh, because you asked me how long did I know, right?" And I think it was like the beginning of book three when I started reading book four. And so I was like, I had written all this stuff like that. And the moment you told me Garn's last name, I was like, "Okay." I was like, "All right, well, that's got to happen now."
It's unbelievable.
Like, it is.
So this was an existing character that already had the name that Tim.
I'm not joking. It's in the book as his name is Sentinel Frastin Stoneborn.
I would like to point out that if you're making a dwarf and you have Stone in the last name, there's roughly maybe a 40 to 30% chance you might run into another one.
Right.
I was about to say that. I was like, "Man, Stoneborn, that's just like throwing a rock and hitting a dwarf." I mean, at that point. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm original and witty and clever.
But Stoneborn is a freaking cool name, and apparently the writers at Paizo thought so too.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's the angle we need to lean into. I just thought like a Paizo writer.
Right, exactly. What can I say? There it is, yeah.
My character is a white dude, and his name's John Smith. The only one ever.
Who wrote this? Linda Sayas Palmer. So you're on that wavelength with Linda there, Tim.
Yeah.
So you will be receiving a cease and desist.
But I want to point out that the art that I found for this guy does in fact show him as a lumpy-ass dwarf.
Yeah.
Also,
the lumpy body dwarves are apparently just a thing in the Stoneborn family.
It's like a fraggle.
You've been telling us it was all battle wounds.
Now you know the lie.
Straight up the Cartman lie is big boned. Yeah, sure. Everyone was big boned in your
running family. From your lumpy heritage.
But so we ended the last episode with Sentinel Fresh and Stoneborn complaining about being late to this council meeting and apologizing profusely, and then seeing Garn and going, "Cousin, what are you doing here?"
Well, I could say the same to you.
He goes limping towards you because he's, you know, he's an older dwarf, and yeah. he goes up and he grabs you by the shoulders and shakes you. And says, "How's the beard?"
Well, you know, I got it a little straggled when I got captured by a cult, but you know, it's I think it's evening out a little bit. Well, what has it been? 150? 200 years, maybe?
I've been here for. He strokes his very long, scraggly beard. And it's been about that long. How's your parents doing?
Oh, well, Pops, he's gone to the great forge in the sky. Yes, I'm sorry to say, but I mean, you know, it is the passage of life. But Mother is still living. She's back in the Five Kings Mountains. They finally, as soon as Father passed, she finally had a reason to leave Tal'Dor. Actually, Yes, you do know we lived in Tal'Dor. We used to meet up at the Rune Feasts. That's right.
Right. Yes. Well, it's so wonderful to see. What do you, and then he looks at the other guys. He goes, "You're an adventurous."
Well, I had to put down the pickaxe eventually, right? And give up the war banner, and now I'm into privateering, it seems like. But for a personal cause. As I mentioned, I was captured by a cult.
Okay, wait, no, we're still processing this. You two are actually related.
And you didn't know. Yes! And the Stoneborns, we're rich lineage.
No,
they grab each other by the beard.
That's our thing, we grab each other by the beard. Don't do it to any other dwarf, it's highly offensive.
It's highly offensive.
You know, the second on your
mother's,
in the
on hall, your mother or mother or father's side?
Oh, mother's side, of course.
What a stroke of luck.
Yes, my father, he didn't have a strong connection to the Five Kings Mountains, which is why he was itching to get away and start a new life in Tal'Dor, on the promise of wealth and privilege and whatnot, and, you know, the Tal'Dorians are all pieces of crap, so he took advantage of our family for hundreds of years and, you know, finally broke away.
How's this prosperous life treating you? And he slaps you on the back.
I mean, I don't think I suppose you fared much better. I didn't think you'd be holding council in a undead overgrown city, but here you are.
Torek be praised. And he holds up the little like hammer emblem, and it sort of shines in the light.
Yes.
You can tell that he feels good where he's at, and with you being here, he's obviously had this like renewed sense that he walked in all grumpy.
Yeah.
And then seeing you, it like, you know, lit his day up.
Yeah. I mean, I see the Forge Ward and never left a bad taste in your mouth. You still worship Torag, eh?
Torag is what gave me the strength to he lets me down here to protect all these people.
Led you down here? I heard you got lost in a mining expedition.
No. He starts giving every excuse in the book, which makes you think that it's actually true.
Is getting lost on a mining expedition just like a great shame for a dwarf?
I mean, it's literally like all they know is rocks.
Right.
and a Stoneborn got lost. Amongst the stones.
Wait, a dwarf got lost in a mine?
No, Torag, let me.
Right. Well, I mean, I can't argue with the results like these. You hold a pretty, and he kind of looks around at some of the people who are giving them, like, snides and side eyes. An esteemed council. You are part of an esteemed council. But I'm afraid we're breaking decorum. Fellow members, I do not want to bore you all with our family reunion, but yes, he is my cousin. I know he can vouch for me. But Is there anything else you'd like to question us of? I have 200 years to catch up on.
Listen, usually I'm quite skeptical of need to bring outsiders to solve local problems. And he's like kind of talking low to you. He goes, but I think Torag led you here today. We have many things that we need help with. And as you saw, and he sort of points north to Sagarok, have our hands full. So we will need assistance, but on a good show. And he clocks you on the head and walks back.
Oh, well, all right. So I guess we still have to make our case then. All right.
I'm but one dwarf, Garn.
All right. So he kind of gives like a sigh. And he's like, well, you haven't changed much for the want of following rules, I see. You know, this guy right here, during the rune feast, he always would wait. You couldn't steal a cookie, not a scone, not a croissant until all the prayers were prayed and all of the runes were traced as Margrim taught us, our ancestors, many years ago. It's like, no, God. We can't eat it. Mummy and Daddy will see. Nice.
I think that's personally perfectly reasonable. What are we, savages?
I just think you need to praise Torag for the feast we're about to have. Do you not appreciate a good feast, Garn?
Of course I appreciate a good feast. It's just, you remember, Uncle. He always went on and on and on. Those prayers, they lasted hours. You can't, a dwarf can't live on rocks. We must feast.
And the food was still hot, you're fine.
Only because Mother knew to keep it on the coals.
I feel like he's like, the dwarf can't live off stone alone, and Benson like hands to Kezra a cup of copper. Damn it.
Could have swore.
I thought that was a solid bet.
You can see with him here, a lot of them have sort of lowered their guard a little bit.
Nice.
Because he seems to, like, be a bit of a curmudgeon, but if he's happy, then some of them are kind of like, all right, you know, it's okay. And also that confirming now that you are actually related to him, because they just heard the last name and was just like, oh,
this was we got like eight Stoneborns.
Dime a dozen Stoneborns.
None of them are related.
The way that this was working was that you guys would address one and say something, and then they would ask you a question. I believe I have 1, 2, 3 of them that have settled their minds. And 1, 2, 3, obviously, Frest and Somorn is like, you know, on your guys' side. But 1, 2, 3, 4 that have not been decided. And then, Goldhand Woldy Iron Temper, she was the lady of the bank. Mm-hmm. She seems to just kind of be like, whatever with you guys right now. So if you guys want to talk to her later, you probably, you know, could try to influence her there. But for now, she's just sort of, like, taking her hands off.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jasmine.
No, I was looking at that other guy, the big guy over on the right.
Yes. This is Adorned Stosk Dolgender. He's the guy with the mustache and the gold coin necklace. Gilded. Gilded to the gills.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So he was you look at him and what do you say?
Oh no, I was just. I got.
If you want to address him,
well, like I said, yeah, I was just kind of curious because it's been a minute for. But he was mercantile, correct? Like trade, as well, like not of the bank, but.
So you're not sure. So like I said, if you want, you can do the deduce traditions.
Yeah.
To understand kind of his deal. So if you want to roll perception or society, to try to figure out like what his angle is, you can go ahead and do that.
I'll do perception. Okay. Because it's surprisingly actually higher.
Yeah. Okay.
So perception. Ooh, not bad. 34.
34 success. So you can tell that with his outfit, everything looks like it's worn with purpose. You can tell he has a deep appreciation for aesthetics, mm-hmm. Just in like how he carries himself and how he dresses himself.
He's a material dwarf.
Very, very fashionable. Very fashionable, even in this like under Darkland city, right? Mm-hmm. He appears to carry himself very well. So you think that like you having the sort of like having the background that you do of like presenting yourself well, especially with like royalty and stuff like that, you think that like you can kind of meet him on that level. Mm-hmm. So what do you say to him at first? And I'll tell you his favorite skills are crafting, deception, or performance. So he wants to know like the fineries, like kind of thing.
God. Okay. Yep. No, I can do deception, but I was just like,
okay.
Okay. Crafting. All right. No, it makes perfect sense. Okay. What was his name again? Sorry, I just
Adorned Stosk Dolgendir.
Stosk Dolgendir.
Yep.
He, Ambrose, he kind of measures this guy up, sees the refinement, sees the gilded gills, as you described it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ambrose, he kind of takes off his adventurer's cloak and kind of reveals the adornment that he has underneath as well.
Okay.
Like, he does...
It's a drip off.
Oh, God. Oh, no, yeah, no, but, like, because Ambrose, like, he just has, like, an adventurer's cloak on just to kind of hide a... I mean, it's also not customary. Like, yeah, he's just going to walk around in refinement, like, all the freaking time.
Right, right, yeah.
But he goes and kind of allows kind of his clothing to reveal itself. It's kind of gilded, hemmed at the edges. It's kind of like a golden hem, like, with thread. Nice. And all that stuff. He got a little bit of, and I said, like, before describing him, because I still need to get stuff written for, drawn for him. Purple, it's kind of like a dark purple cloak, like that he or tunic, kind of something like that, but with like a gold refinement to it. So it's kind of in that weird level of like it's royalty but not royalty, because
okay, yeah,
because you've got to hit, if I want to go to color theory for a moment, you don't want to go too light purple or else,
right? Yeah,
but anyway, so he measures this guy up and he presents himself. Ah, on the morrow, hello, good evening. I'm Ambrose Gohenbus, Viscount. And he does like a bow, customary in like nobility and stuff like that in this position. Okay. He knows he's a small person. Like,
I gotcha, yeah. Yeah, you know your place in this
moment. Yes.
So Stosk stands up and he looks you up and down and he goes,
Describe to me the most glorious outfit you've ever had the good fortune to wear.
And he's like stroking his mustache as he says this.
Well, the best outfit, well, the most expensive, I would say, was an evening suit that I wore for my father's birthday party one year. It was his 70th. But the refinement of pleated white, almost with ivory handles for the buttons, as well as, I believe, what was it? It was drake scales for pauldrons. It was done in such a way that the white blended in with a little bit of a light red, and the smiths worked wonderfully to make it so it was seamless. It almost could have been armor, if, you know, want to take a glancing blow. And the chains were crafted. I believe they were outsourced from Meduvia. And he kind of goes into a spiel of like where he got some of his jewelry. Because honestly, if I memorized Galarian at this point, mm-hmm. I wish I did. Kind of threw me on the spot.
I know, right?
But then, of course, there was the trades for Absalom. And then we simply had a decadent night. But everything felt like you're walking on air as well. The shoes alone, the boots, the soles, the insoles. It was just... It was... You could dance for hours.
So he's loving what you're saying. I want you to do a roll, though. Are you going to... so like I said, the skills are...
I could do performance, actually.
I was going to say, but yeah, because it sounds like if you're lying, obviously deception would be one thing.
Oh, no, I wore shit, like, man. Like,
right. So go ahead and roll performance.
All right.
Crafted by elven seamstress Louis Vuitton.
not bad. Okay, so I'll say this. My performance is a plus 17. So, okay. And dang. I rolled a 19 on the die.
Oh.
36.
Okay, so that is a success. So he's stroking his heavy curly mustache. The mustache doesn't even go out to the edge of his lips; it goes over his lips, like on the front. And so he's stroking his mustache like that. And he goes, "You said Drake scales," and he's like very interested in that fact for some reason. And he goes, "Tell me, did your own father, on his birthday, kill this Drake and get the scales for you?"
"Oh, I believe he claimed he killed that Drake for him."
Slaps his knee. "I like them." And then he goes and sits down.
Like, and he bows. And with him, just a wide smile on his face, but he knows to keep it a little low. Just to not be too cocky.
Yeah. So I will mark him as influenced. So next we have the three on the left side here. So there is Kelda Hallrick, who is the... I think she's the... what is he? Forge Master Kelda Hallrick. So she introduced herself as the Anvilers Guild. Councilwoman. And then there's the Aljoiner Tora Garnus, who she looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she's definitely some kind of craftsman. And then there's Fortunate Halgara Cord, who she was the one that had the big old pipe and the dice. And she has some like nice leather armor on. But you can see her just like kind of fiddling with the dice in between her fingers.
And she was laughing at when Kezar was talking, right?
Oh, she loved the tea that you were smelling. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
she was loving that.
Yeah, I guess Kezar will gesture to her. I guess what do I roll? I guess the goal is to influence them, right?
Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to do the deduce traditions, you could do either perception check or society to kind of figure out like. What she's going to like.
Yeah, I'm thinking Kezra's gonna look over to her and he's like,
"Y'all aren't gonna throw us in prison. You look like you enjoy a good game of dice."
And I guess I'll roll society. What was the other option? Society or lore,
so
or something?
To deduce traditions, it would be perception check or society. And society is the easier one. I don't know if I said that, but society is an easier DC. Just because you're looking at like what they're wearing and stuff like that to kind of like understand stuff.
Just on first impressions, I'm not sure who's more likely to have loaded dice in this situation.
So yeah, go ahead and roll society.
I'm going to roll perception because it's significantly better.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right.
Fuck. 19.
So you kind of look up and down, and then you're like, she seems like the gambling type, but she seems like she's got like a strict code. So you are kind of like, all right, maybe I need to like, you know, talk about like how like I need to have like a set of standards or something. So Kezra.
No way.
Right, yeah. So like that's like the vibe that you're getting. And it maybe it's just because she's dressed well, and she's not like, you know, covered in like gaudiness, like everything feels very like purposeful. That's kind of like the thing that you're getting there. So first off, what do you say to her? And then she will give you her query afterwards, and then I'll ask what you want to roll.
Yeah, he invited her out to dice.
Gotcha.
If they weren't going to be thrown in jail.
Oh, gotcha. No, don't think we're going to throw you in jail. One question. I do love a game of dice, but what's the funniest thing that's ever happened to you?
Oh, man. So many stories. You know, I was listening to that, the conversation that Ambrose had with that guy over there. It reminded me of a funny story. When I was making my travels through Kadira, I came across a vacation home that was all closed up for the season. But it wasn't quite cold yet. It doesn't get that cold down in Kadira anyway. And I spent a month in that manor. No one ever showed up. Wearing all their fine clothes, drinking all their Sarain wine. Greatest wine I've ever had. And then the family did show up. A caretaker, one of their cousins. You should have seen the look on his face when he unlocked that door and saw my sorry ass naked in our living room, drinking all their wine. Yeah, I spent a couple weeks in Kadiran prison over there. But I had a good kick out of it.
She looks you up and down and goes, "You look like the kind of man that wants to be a nude at all times." And she starts cackling at the idea of like you being found naked. So
trust me, it happens all the time.
There's a gentle clink as Benson's palm hits his forehead.
So go ahead and or tell me what you want to roll. What skill you think in here?
I'll roll. For that story, can I roll? Fuck. I'll just roll performance.
Okay.
Telling a good story. All right, that's a lot better. 34.
34. You did a non-favorable skill and you still got it. So good for you. so yeah, she just starts laughing. She's like, "Let these fools in. We'll handle any idiocy they decide to bring us." So she seems satisfied with your story and her influence now. On to the next person. So the last two here, which is Aljoiner Tora Garnis, who is the craftsman with the hammer. Looks like she's got like some kind of some kind of tools on her belt. And then Kelda, who's the forge master.
You said the forge master?
Yeah, so forge master Kelda Hallrig. She was the one who sort of introduced herself. She looks like this. She's actually out of the book. I didn't find this art online anywhere. But yeah, so you can tell she's like kind of older. She's got some like gray hair, sort of wisped out.
Dude, she got arms for wisp. Days, though. My God,
yeah, those aren't. I mean,
crush a skull with those arms.
Listen, there's a reason why so many people had the last name Smith. It's because their muscles were glistening with all the sweat.
God,
man. They had so many babies. Yeah. So I mean, yeah, she's got some sizable muscles. You can tell she's been around a minute. But she introduced herself as the Forge Master, so you already know her deal. What do you get? Yeah, go ahead.
Benson will simply bow towards her. Benson's in a full suit of plate metal. Everybody knows what he's about.
Yep.
Tell me, Forge Master, how are the stores of raw components for your wares and your craft?
We do just fine down here. We live in constant fear, but Torag provides. Well, I want to know from you, in particular, because you seem that you would know this. How can metalwork better society as a whole?
Metalwork. Now John has to think of this, goddammit.
That's right. The players are playing today.
Don't make us think. We're only here to fight.
Metalwork can be the shining crown of a society's forehead, or it can be the teeth in its iron jaws. It can be beautiful,
artistically made, or it could be made for a purpose, something simple. It is simply the vision that the craftsman gives it.
There's a tear going down her face. It's beautiful and poetic. He goes, that's all I needed to hear. She sits down.
I don't think I was bad for on the fly, guys.
Right on, man. Right on, brother. Right on.
So then the last one stands up. So this is the one that she's got, like, a darker skin tone than everybody else. You can tell that she's, like I said, she's got some kind of craft. Big leather apron on. Long, long hair. And she stands up as she's, like, the last one that's, you know, had the chance to talk here. And she's just kind of, like, she looks inquisitive, mostly. It's, like, you know, she's trying to, like, trying to suss you guys out, really. And she looks at you and she goes, "All right, you all are friends. Your best friend asks you for advice for the best home in which to raise a family. What do you tell them?"
Ah, shit, we're not really a family kind of group.
Any city where we're not actively in. Is Kesra the only one with kids?
No, Kesra is not the only one with kids.
Oh, man. Gasp.
Dude, Garn, congrats on the sex.
Chicken that dick wet.
Took 250 years. Finally did it. I think I can perhaps speak on this. For me, I can speak on two fronts. One, being raised by parents who came from war. It is a hard life when you know that your parents have gone through so much in the name of Torag. And he kind of, like, shoots a glance over at his cousin. And for it all to come to naught. And then to entrust the future of your family with promised riches from another nation, only to discover that they only wanted you for your labor. So internalizing all of those experiences as I started my own family, it gave me perspective that it is not the gods above, nor is it the kingdoms of man who can make a home secure. The gods will call you away to war. The kings will do the same and take your very house from you. But the one thing they can never take away is the love of a family, the love of a community that can come around a child and help them raise them right. I was fortunate enough that after a generation, I was able to find that in Taldor, making inroads with all different kinds of peoples, kinds of neighbors that you can let your kids out the back door and you know that they'll come home well fed. That is the kind of place to raise a child. And you see, like Garn is getting, like, really emotional as he, like, thinks about his family that he just got separated from.
So you can tell that it's sort of moving her as well, and she's just sort of like,
"Hey, it's family that drives, it's family that pushes us to do things we didn't know was possible. We have a great family here. We need each other because out there," and she points north, and then she points south, and she points just like all around, "they just want to eat you. You're nothing but the next meal. But here we keep each other safe. That's the best thing a home can provide, is safety. These walls are safe, and I hope that you keep them that way." And she sits down. So the council then sort of they sort of just stand up and then
Kelda approaches you, and she goes,
"I think that was good. I think it started off a little shaky, cause sort of eyes kind of absentmindedly looking at Kezra."
I was about to say, like, huh? How?
He's like picking his nose and not paying attention.
Yeah, the cousin coming in was a really big tone shift. Much needed.
Oh, yeah. Thank God the tension you could have cut with a knife.
I also like to think when she was like, "What's the best place for a family?" And then when Garn started speaking up, he just hear Benson go,
"Whew." One that pitched your family members against each other.
Kendra was like, "Well, let me tell you about abandoning your children."
Garn is the heart.
Yeah, she's an adult. She's fine.
But she goes, "Go ahead and take time to yourselves. Have fun, relax, rest up. We have some things we need help with, so I'm gonna see exactly what they need. Sometimes needs stay around for a long time, sometimes they're handled in a day. But I'll meet you all tomorrow morning. Have a good night."
Where would be a good place for us to spend that night?
Looking for a place to stay. Do you mind spending some coin, or would you prefer humble accommodations?
Coin and alcohol. I don't want to have to travel far for drink.
Yes, I wouldn't mind a bit of a softer bed tonight.
We're like insanely rich.
We're also just trying to imagine us coming in from the previous gauntlet of battles, and then we also have to talk to a council of dwarves.
Right.
Like, right,
we are barely holding on any mental strength right now.
Yeah, I'm glad that like Jake allowed me to participate in this, because I technically, by the book, cannot perform any exploration activities.
I know.
He's like, "What about you?
Because I have fatigued."
What about you, Garn?
To be fair, the book itself makes it out to be like the deduced traditions and the influence region have like action economy.
Ah, it's an encounter. Like, I'm good. See?
Right, exactly. So by the book, you're fine.
All right, nerds in the Discord, stand down.
Like, I play this better.
I can see them hovering over the keyboard. No!
I'm on fantasynamegenerators.com. This episode brought to you by...
Oh, Black Oak Workshop, where dice are treasure. Some dice and you need some treasure and you want those to be one and of the same thing, pick up Black Oak Workshop. It is past Advent, so you missed their adventure calendar this year by a long shot. However, never fear, they run sales. So what you can do is you can actually buy their adventure calendar on sale, save it for next year if you can manage.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting a few here.
The Moldy Rat.
The Moldy Rat. We've already had one tavern with the name
Nicest
Rat.
Nicest tavern in town.
The Moldy Rat.
God, this place sucks.
That's all we got.
The Festering Mushroom.
Oh. Mellow Mushroom's lesser known cousin.
There's only two stabbings there a week.
Oh my god, there is one literally called... Wait. Alright. So there is the Foaming Fire Tavern, the Swift Spade, or, let me see. I did get the Moldy, but it's just the Moldy Cloth, but I was trying to make it dwarven. How about...
The Moldy Loincloth.
Oh, God.
The Moldy Loincloth. That's what it is. The Moldy Loincloth. Thanks, Dad. And it's the Moldy Loincloth.
Come, stay at the Moldy Loincloth. It won't burn when you pee.
You won't get worms just by lying down.
You can tell when you walk in, like, you're like, let me check this place out. It's just, the fungus has gotten so bad.
How come on the front side advertising you have a D in cleanliness? Why are you advertising that?
Because it used to be an E.
It's an experience. An experience like none other.
Everybody loves a dive tavern.
When you can smell the stink from the street, you know you found a place to avoid.
He goes, you want a drink? And he turns around to grab a mug, and you can see mushrooms growing out of his armpits. It's like, oh, what the fuck?
The moldy loincloth. Don't drink the water.
Let's go to that second one you said, the sexy spade or whatever.
This, I mean, it can be that. It was the swift spade, but I like the sexy. The sexy spade's a good one.
I like the first one, though. What was it? The
foaming flame?
The foaming fire tavern, yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Sounds like the drinks are strong.
Sure.
Also, I'm trying not to bring any communicable diseases home.
Your wife would be so mad.
No, I swear, I just laid down.
You went where? In Kovlar?
I got abducted by slavers for a couple of months, and then I got an STD at a moldy inn.
I didn't even have
every time I heard nickel for every time I heard that story.
I mean, all you have to do is just say a name. They're like, oh, why the hell did you stay there?
It's just they just go. Restoration spells are so expensive.
They okay. Missed the boys. They wanted to go.
Oh, the boys again, huh?
All right. Oh, yeah, so and you can't cast Restoration anymore.
No. I used to be able to.
Oh, right.
I was a level 12 cleric.
Oh, right.
All right. Yeah. So we are going to head to this tavern.
Yes.
All right. So you're going to the foamy fire.
Yes.
Yeah, the flaming foam.
Okay. So you walk in. This is definitely, I would say it's closer to like a Chili's. Like that's the idea that I get with it. You know,
I'll take it.
Dwarven Chili's. Dwarven Chili's. Right. Yeah. And so you go in, and so the you know people are getting rowdy and everything like that. It's a good time in here. So you walk in, and you can see that the smell is incredible. We're all guys that love like mushrooms and roasts and stuff like that. And that's the smell that you get. It's ale, mushrooms, and meat. Awesome place to be. And you can see that there's a dwarvish band up. They have like three sets of drums, and they got a whole slew of dwarvish instruments up there.
Eight bagpipes.
Yeah, yeah, they're playing some awesome stuff. But so this place looks like the hotspot. It looks like a pretty good place to be.
So Benson would like to quickly go pay for a room. And Benson is going to go to Kezra and say, "We had some bad experiences at inns before. Come check these rooms out with me."
Right.
We can talk to the who's behind the counter for?
Behind the counter is a man by the name of Vod Ironbash. He's a dwarf with hair down to his ass and a beard that's even longer somehow. and you he's juggling like a bunch of drinks and stuff like that. And so he turns around and he's just like, "Hey, what can I do you for?
What's your signature drink?"
The straight fire.
All right, we'll take a round of fire then.
And it's an ale that the cup itself is warm. When he pours it, and so it kind of goes down with a nice slow burn, when you ask about a room, he's just like, "All right, room all of you in one. There's two beds per, so you're cuddling up." And then he sort of looks, he's like, "You big ones," and he points to the three of you and not Garn. <'Cause>, might get a little tight.
We'll take two.
Two rooms.
Two rooms. You guys get your rooms. Mm-hmm. There is three floors. So do you guys have any requests? Do you guys want like a specific one? If you're looking for like... Because the only reason why I'm asking is because John was kind of like... you know, hesitant on, like, getting a room or, like,
well,
you know, you want to check him out or whatever.
Let's go check him out first.
Yeah, is there one with a view of the front door?
Yeah. So one of the rooms available is like right on the corner. So that way, if you like kind of lean your head a little bit, you can see the front.
Man, when I was like switching into Grimshaw for a second, I was like, first level, fire rises.
I was thinking about fall height, but yeah.
See, I was thinking, I was like, why are you checking? I was like, oh yeah, I completely forgot about entire encounter, actually.
Okay, does Kezra come with Benson to check the room out?
Yep, by the time we get up to the room, he's already finished one of his straight fires, and he's got another one halfway down.
Okay, Benson is going to close the door, look around. Just looks like a regular room, I imagine.
It's your typical room. It's maybe sized differently, because you know, there's a lot of dwarves in here, but they do have adventurers, so obviously there's like... I imagine there's like, you know, like the leaf of a table to like extend it. Yeah, they got that for the for
like,
the bits.
Like leg extenders or something like that.
Right. Yeah. It's your ideal room. Yeah.
Okay, so Benson is gonna turn to Kezra and go, I think we should talk about the meeting we had with the council today.
Oh yeah. But what a waste of time that was.
And Benson punches him in the face as hard as he can.
Oh, God! Yes! You bastard! What the hell is that for?
This seems to be the only thing you respect, and he hits him again.
Oh, God damn it. He thinks about tackling him, and then he's just like, maybe I deserve that.
I understand. You don't have respect for anything. Probably not even yourself. Maybe even the least of all yourself. But God damn it, Kezra. We are trying to do something here. I don't need you putting on performances like that.
Those rooms get stuffy whenever I'm in front of a bunch of people analyzing me.
The room was stuffy. Is that what caused you to threaten them to start a illegal gambling pit in their city?
I'm just saying that's what I would do. It was a hypothetical question.
If I did it.
If I did it by Kezra Davidson.
If I did it.
All I'm saying is you don't have to have respect for me or yourself, but have some respect for the other people we're traveling with, because they need people like us who have been doing this longer, have been in this group longer, and they need people to look up to. I'm not asking for much, Kezra. I just need some help. He hits him again.
Oh, God. What the fuck?
Heals him and leaves.
That's so jarring. You realize that?
Gosh. Kezra just standing in the room, sits on the bed with his down to his fire water, washes, rubs the blood off of his face. And he just kind of chuckles, and then waits a few moments, and he gets back. He's like, "I'm empty." And he takes two cups, and he goes down for more straight fire.
I love how his face is probably perfectly healed, but there's probably like blood all over
him. Yeah, but what fucking happened to this guy?
Oh my god!
It was the gog. I swear.
So Garn and Ambrose are checking out the other room.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess this is what they do. I've experienced this room, I suppose.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with this room, man.
It's perfectly fine to me.
Yes, I've slept in worse.
Oh, yes. The slave pits were awful.
Oh, my apologies on that.
Oh, did that not tell you where they picked me up?
Oh, no, I really haven't heard much about...
Right, the slavery. Oh, right.
Well, that took a turn.
Well, as you heard in the meeting, I hailed from Talgor, my parents from the Five Kings, and it was like a flash in the night. Scarlet Triad was upon our small town, raided, pillaged. They took the strongest of us, which is why they took me, obviously, and I don't know what happened to my family. We were separated. I was dragged halfway across Galarian and drugged, so I didn't even know where, what direction, north, south, east, west. They found me. I was captive. What was the name of that mine? The quarry.
It was a quarry.
Oh my gosh. Ah.
So long ago.
It was so long ago. Look at my
notes. I think it was called Foxconn or something like that.
The quarry south of Gintargo.
Yeah. South Summershade Quarry.
West. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yep, yep. Yep, it was a quarry south of Gintargo, Summershade Quarry. Long abandoned by the Scarlet Triad to have shop. They were trying to expand their empire, their reach from that point. I don't quite know what our final destination was, whether to work mines or travel somewhere else, but thankfully I did not find out. Benson, Kesra, an elf named Elfwood, and right as I breached my prison, a knight by the name of Grimshaw was slain before my eyes, and he holds up like the Morning Star. This was his. He kind of looks at it a little oddly. It looked much different when I picked it up. And I am much different after picking it up. But that is how I threw in my lot with them. I don't suppose, what got you mixed up, huh?
Well, at first, like, and he sits down on one bed, just kind of like, as we're discussing this, you know, talking and stuff. And he's listening, kind of like, it's one of those things that he works with, is that he listens and he does genuinely feel sorrow for all that you've been through.
He's
like, my friend, I'm so sorry. And he starts speaking in Dorvish to see if it makes it more comfortable, like,
yeah,
for the mother tongue, basically. And I was like, well, for me, I actively was out of the adventuring game for most of my life. I actually hail from Chilliax, near a place called Longacre. And I was part of a house, the House of Goenves.
Nobility, yes.
Yes, nobility, and he just kind of throws his hands up, like, whatever that's worth at this point. But I... Well, and he kind of looks like he's looking to the left, and then Luca appears, kind of like sitting down as well. We've had encounters with the Scarlet Triad. They attacked my house. Not sure what exactly all the details were, why they did, but they were ransacked, took anyone that was worth anything, took my brother. Didn't kill him, took him, because I believe what I overheard was the head of a noble was worth more than just a commoner. And I was left for dead, or at least they couldn't find me. You see, that's the part where things are a bit fuzzy. And Luca's kind of silent the whole time, but he kind of speaks again. I am no one notable. I was not exactly my father's favorite child, and was simply planning on running away, to be honest with you. I like performing. I like to enjoy carousing. I enjoy all of that. And so I was going to leave my brother in state of things. But when they attacked, it kind of set things off. And when they attacked, it caused the death of my dear friend, my guard. I did something quite foolish. Attempted a ritual I was inexperienced with. And, well, and it's kind of like, first, because Karn kind of laid himself out for him, that he kind of, like, undoes part of his, like, a belt around his waist and lifts up his shirt, and you just see, like, this scar. Like, and there's just runes coming up along and just disappearing.
Whoa.
I made a deal, I suppose. If the spell went wrong, I'm not sure, and I'm looking for answers on that. But as I draw breath, I'm still looking for my brother. And looking to simply extinguish any Potter Scholar Triad. And at the end of it all, I hope to bring him peace. So I'm trying to also find someone to help cut the cord, so to speak. Because this is... I do not want him living amongst the world any longer than he needs to be. I feel like this is borrowed time.
Bonded soul, a lost brother, a slain family. The destruction that the Scarlet Triad leaves in its wake. It's insurmountable.
You know the crazy thing about it? Is every so often I will hear things. The creatures I summoned, I talk to them. And the more I travel, the more I hear. Thing is, I don't know what the extent will be, and what I'm actually reaching sometimes. And, of course you can't do it now, because you have spell slots. But so far, all I've summoned were creatures I encountered that were willing to set their lot up with me. And if you remember in the worm fight, there was a skeleton he summoned.
Yeah.
Some of my old family.
I see. Back when you were fighting that monstrous worm then.
That was our cook, actually. He helped keep me sane while I was admonished by my father half the time, you know, nobility, and you have to learn the ways of every single person that comes through. You have to bow the right way. But
yes. An insufferable lot. They too send good men to die.
Oh, quite right. But that man, his name was Bonovan. Strong as an ox, but he could make the perfect cake. But
at this point, Kezra, I think, is sat down, because he'd probably come back to find you guys. So he's been listening. And have you addressed... And has anybody addressed the fact that you're a tiefling?
Not really.
Yes. Well... Garn almost tried to kill Ebro.
It was just a freak out.
Spur of the moment. Just a slight psychotic freak.
I'll say Benson also came back in too. Just so he's here.
Oh, everyone's coming in to inspect the rooms, I see. Yes, ah, so good as well.
Yeah, but no one.
Don't worry, Benson. I rubbed my nose blood on your sheets. Ruby.
Wait, that was
I deserve that.
What? What's going on in your room?
Aggressive negotiations.
Klingon lovemaking.
Nice.
Who said that?
There was a voice in the sky, I swear. He speaks to me sometimes.
Just an NPC, like, the table over.
You let him in here.
Mind your own.
So Kezra looks to Ambrose and he's like, "So, what's the story with this, your demonic origin? It's a good vibe. Is it running the family?"
He just laughs. He laughs, though. He's just like, he's like, demonic. No. I'm what you would call from the pit, if anything else. If I was demonic, I'd be waylaying something else at this point. Please, don't associate me with demons.
All looks the same to me.
This is coming from the
sorcerer with Asmodeus emblazoned on him.
Yes.
How did you get tangled up with the pit?
I'm not well studied on the divine, if you didn't know.
Well, if you...
But you're a servitor of Asmodeus?
Nah, I'm just having some fun.
Oh. So did you...
Kind of shoots a glance at Benson.
you gonna do anything about that?
Lore-wise, yes. Gameplay-wise, can't.
So. I mean, you can punch him again, that's fine, but... just kind of like, oh yeah, so just having a little bit of fun with Asmodeus. Wow, that usually ends well. Tell me, how many contracts have you made?
I think I've made one.
You think?
But I don't know.
You're talking about the gambling ring, the underground grand gambling ring. I think you made us some deal with some unsavory character, yes?
Oh yeah, that's a contract too.
I believe, and I'm pretty sure you did something to do with a Hell Knight, if I remember correctly, back in Breach Hill. But contract's frivolous, I believe.
Hey, we own the deed to that citadel. It is ours. Those Hell Knights can pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Oh no, that was about
the
auction.
That very well might be their plan.
But if you must know, I don't know, to be honest with you. My father blames my mother sometimes, but at a certain point in time, you really do not know where certain things come from.
Yeah, I hear that. Neither of my parents, or at least my mother didn't. I don't know my father very well, but neither of them were gifted like I am. But neither of them are very proud of me either.
The sorcery runs in the blood, does it not?
Yes, but didn't seem to skip them.
Skip the generation or two. That happens.
Or hell, maybe I don't even know my real father. I don't know.
Well, depending, actually. I'm just trying to remember. You turned into a dragon, right? In one of the fights.
Yeah, like dragon wings, I know for sure.
No, I didn't use dragon form in front of Ambrose.
Oh, okay.
I used my wings.
He used it in front of Garn, hasn't done it since.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, because it was just...
Yeah.
Like, whoa. So tell me, maybe perhaps your father was more of a dragon than anything else?
Wait. Did you transformed into one I thought in the worm fight?
That's
maybe. You're right, yes. I did use dragon
form. Okay, so you have.
That's what I was just trying to... I was like, I could have sworn, but, you know, time is a frivolous thing sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes, so maybe... Somewhere down the line, you have a dragon parentage.
Yeah, I must. Sure, my draconic ancestor would be very proud of me.
Downs another straight fire, pours all over him.
Not quite sure. All the dragons that I've met. Well, they certainly have never acted like someone like you.
What a piece of shit.
Basically.
Hey, I've earned my my reputation at this point. I wear it with a badge of honor. This guy over here hates it.
He's pointing at Benson.
I don't know why he's still tagging along with me.
Or maybe it's the other way around. It seems that Benson's cause is just... fight against the Scarlet Triad. I know they killed your friend, Grimshaw, but what else is in it for you, Kezra?
Yeah, when you... His face darkens a little bit, and it's like, they also killed
another member of our crew before you. My friend Adelar. He was a good man.
He was a great man.
And I don't care much for justice at all, but I do get up for revenge.
And for that, we agree.
Yes.
Yes. Well then, any regardless of his class, to revenge.
To revenge.
I prefer holy wrath.
Full vengeance. So the party is still continuing. You guys keep talking. There's like a certain point when like dwarves are like messing with each other and having fun, and like, you know, some adventurers come in and they start, you know, chiding them like they chided you. There's like a certain point when one of you is like up getting drinks and you feel like a tap on your shoulder and you turn around, it's just three dwarves just like flashing you with their kilts. It's just like, oh my god, what the fuck?
Solar flare, god.
They like laugh.
Garn completely unfazed. He's like, see it once, you see it 1,200 times.
You can barely see it through the beards anyway.
it gets late. There's a certain point that people are turning in. When you guys starts to turn in, actually, there is one guy that's kind of been sitting there, and you probably noticed him at some point, but he is just tired. He's clearly, like, defeated on, like, an emotional level, and he's just sort of sitting there. And you can see he's just sort of, like, he nurses a drink for, like, way too long. Like, he's not even really, like, he doesn't really care that he's, like, actually drinking. He's just doing it because... and he's just a defeated man. And like at a certain point that, when the things start to die down and, you know, things get a little bit more calm, he just stands up and he's just like,
you do it for nothing. You do it for nothing. The monsters out there. They'll take you. They'll rip you to shreds. You all, your days are numbered. Each one of you. We had 10. There were 10 of us out there. It's just me now. It's just me.
And he just sits down and just like quiets himself.
Where were you when there were 10 of you?
Out there in Sagarok. We were there to get treasure. It's only death out there. It's only death!
And he, like, grabs you by your collar. It's like, death! Screaming. His eyes are bloodshot.
Damn.
It'll claim you. It'll claim you, too. Go back to your homes.
Unfortunately, death comes for everybody. And it's tried to get me for a long time. We'll see if it gets me here, friend.
There's no peace in this death. This is death that keeps you there and tortures you. I saw the souls. They begged for release.
And he is like suffering from some like severe PTSD of like whatever he went through.
Tell me. And Ambrose will just kind of sit, you know, not next to him because he's gauging the reaction of this man. I mean, he's right, his emotions are all the place. Tell me, what exactly did you see out there?
This man, I think it was a man at one point. I think it was some kind of man. But he so much different than the others, the other things that we struck down. The other things we struck down, but they were easy. Even if they rose again, our sword still did the work. But this thing, it hovered above us. Its mouth too wide. I can't describe. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen. In its chest, and he's like claws in his skin a little bit, and he's just like, every soul's lost inside of it, and he's like scratching at his chest,
like imagining what he saw and trying to like describe it to you.
Can you take? You can take us there in the morning.
Kefir's like almost asleep. He's like standing next to Benson. He's just like swaying in a circle with like his eyes closed.
He's just kind of like,
he, like sauntered over to this guy. You started talking to him.
Yeah, this guy that's freaking out. And Kefir's just like, so you know, show us.
Yeah, you
where are all your friends?
We'll take care of it.
You know, places. Is that what you're saying?
We'll take care of it. I promise.
You'll be dead, and he shoves you, and you just fall over.
He's asleep before he hits the ground.
Oh no, there was a stool there. Oh, he cracked his neck. No, baby, no.
So he's trying to explain to you guys that it's only death out there, is what he says, mm-hmm. And he's like trying to describe this thing that he saw while he was out there.
Yeah, Garn's gonna maybe see if there's anyone left who's like maybe knows him, maybe even the bartender, to be like.
The bartender's like, he comes in here every night and he does that. I don't even know where he gets money. He might pickpocket it, to be honest with you.
He's like, you see, as he's bent over and catches his unconscious body.
Hey, you. Someone should probably warn him not to rob the dragon man.
You'll all be dead. You won't need this. Fine.
Believe me, if you continue with what you're doing, you will wish for death far faster.
And I have no doubt that he'll trap your soul just as well.
So if you guys want, it's a secondhand account, but like he did some distinguishing things, or he listed some descriptive
features. Yeah, I was writing it down.
Okay.
Yep. Sagrak hovered above this, mouth too wide, chest filled with souls.
Yes. If you want to roll religion, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely, I would like to roll religion. Mm-hmm.
It'll be a lot of religion checks, by the way.
Yeah.
Anything in Sagarok.
Good. You know, great.
It's so perfect that I was a cleric turned exemplar, because exemplars, they really wouldn't be trained in religion, but because I specifically chose this character path for him, I'm a master of
religion. Oh my god, that's awesome.
Oh yeah.
I rolled garbage.
Ah. Oh, okay. I didn't roll great, but I still got a 30.
Oh, one okay. Lit. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Let me get everybody's here.
Benson, I know you got something better in there.
Only 29. You beat me.
Wow.
Okay. And you said you got a what total?
30.
So, I can't give you stuff because it's a little bit harder to place.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, you hit the DC, but because it's like him telling you about it, you're like not quite sure.
Yeah.
So I'll give you this. You've heard of a thing that is known by many names, but it's people just sort of call it a devourer, and it has this sort of like mythical undead, you know, like legend to it.
Yeah.
And they talk about how like it floats around, so it flies, and how it does seem to have this roiling mass of souls in its chest. But that's all that you really get out of it. And it's like it's one of those things that it's like you've heard so little of it that it must be that powerful that nobody really survives.
Right.
Like that's the vibe you're getting from. So that's why you don't get much details, is because you're like, whoever I have heard this from, you know, down the grapevine, like, it must have been, like, a person that barely survived and just ran away.
Right.
Like, you know, they didn't really fight it. That's sort of the thing. That's what you're getting out of this.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cruel that we don't come across it, but if we do, we'll try to slay it.
We will slay it.
Giveaway code alert. By this point, you probably realize we have a bit of a theme. So to switch it up, the giveaway code today is Die Hard. Head on over to the Discord, message one of the DPS members the giveaway code, Die Hard.
So this guy eventually just sort of walks outside, and then you see him just like in the horse trough.
Does he still have his pants on?
This guy? Yeah.
Oh, he's not Kezra sloppy, all right?
You guys look down. Kezra's still where he's laying, but somehow has no pants on.
Yes!
when did he do it?
I swear to God, that's more impressive than his magic.
did he not just have his pants on? Where did they go?
There's some things you just can't question.
Mystery of a sorcerer.
I look at Benson. I'm like, you have the look. Someone who's seen this many, many times.
You get used to it.
Oh. Well, he is your bunkmate, so I will leave him to you.
Start dragging him by the feet,
hitting every step.
Someone grabbed my pants.
I thought they were ruined, so they like returned to you.
Returning back. You lose your pants. Pants are returning.
You cannot find his pants. They're just gone. You have no idea. No idea where they went.
Trust me, he will have them when he wakes up.
Benson, can I borrow some pants? I've used all mine.
I've used disposable pants. Is that what's
about? You know, that makes more sense.
He just discards pants.
Yep. I throw him on a bed.
The night goes silent. We zoom out from this, and it's the city of Kovlar. Thousands of people are winding down for the night, but obviously it's not night here necessarily. It's just that you guys are tired, so there's a shift that happens. You know, there's no sun, so how do you really direct your life, right? And so, you know, you guys go to bed, another shift of people kind of, you know, starts moving about the city and da-da-da. About 10 hours later, Kelda Hallrig comes by. And she knocks on your doors, knocks on Ambrose and Garns. Do you guys wake up early? You guys kind of sleeping in?
Ambrose wakes up early enough, but namely just for morning rituals, basically, just to center himself. So he's up reasonably early.
Okay. So you answer the door, and she goes, "To where else?" Oh, sorry, Scottish. Where are the other two? Are they in the same inn?
They're here. I believe right next door.
Oh, she walks down and she knocks on this one. Kezra, you think the entire house is coming down.
Because
it's so loud.
Please stop.
Benson opens the door.
Kill them, Benson. Get them to walk away.
You got it, buddy. Just lay down. How can I help you?
She goes, I have the list of things that the council members wanted to ask of you. I will tell you, this list, while it might seem extensive now, if you do these items and you complete these tasks, we will aid you with items or many other things, really. But I want to go over each of them. So that way you can choose where to start first. You are more than welcome, obviously, to just use this place as a home of sorts, but right now we need your help.
Then tell us. We're happy to help.
Yeah, start with the one that Frast didn't put on the list. I want to see what kind of fetch quest he'll put his old cousin up to.
So she's got her clipboard. She's like flipping through. She goes to Freston's. Freston asked for. So you can see, I know exactly what it was, and I'm not flipping through the PDF right now.
Wait, so they each have specific stuff?
Yes.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. I thought it was just like a random assortment. Like, oh, that's sick.
Nope. Each of them had a thing.
Three ply toilet paper.
Oh, Preston. Two ply was never good enough.
He just wrote down missing persons, and he underlined it multiple times. And then it just says, come see me.
Okay. Vague, as usual.
True. I'll see you guys next time.
Hey.
Oh boy, here it goes.
First order, find my bats.